Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton all the way from New York. And together today we're going to talk about the divided states of America. This dates all the way back to the Bible. A house divided cannot stand. And we're going to tell you all about it. And yeah, it's practical for today, just as it was in the book of Genesis. So, David, you want to go ahead and pray us into this show, and then we'll get going.
Absolutely. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we recognize that the nations that are here today, or the kingdoms, as you call them, the kingdoms of this world, will become your kingdoms, and we look forward to that day. In the meantime, we want to keep our eyes and ears open. We want to reach people and say, show them how your word is pure prophecy, because you've told them this since the thousands of years ago, so they can know that your word is true. They can know that you truly are God and that Jesus is the Savior. We give you all that praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Couldn't agree more. Okay, I'm going to show the topics that we hope to get to today. You know how that goes with a show. We can go off the rails a second. But anyway, we will do the week in review for sure. And then I want to get into a nation divided. And the United States, I think, is more divided today than it ever has been, except for, of course, the Civil War.
I think it's a matter of we are more divided. It's just that it's become where the love grows cold. So even though we have a difference of opinion before, you know, we would love on each other and then, you know, deal with those. Nowadays, it's, I mean, when you see what's happening in the government that claims to be on women's side, you know, and then doing the crazy stuff they're doing, and then, you know, not and being for equal rights, but not standing for a young black man with brain cancer.
Right.
I mean, that's a real problem. That's where the problem lies. Not to say that the conservative side is perfect or anything, but you know, to be a liberal these days, you're just on purpose. You're taking all common sense and just throwing it out the window just for the sake of going nah, 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 nah.
Right. You know? Yeah. Well, you know, one side, I'm going to say both sides, don't listen to what the other side has to say. Mm-hmm. There's no legitimate conversation anymore. I have actually seen people turn away. They don't want to even hear a question because it's Fox News that's asking it. Yep. Or the same thing with CNN or with MSNBC. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear your opinion. I got mine because they said so. So it's right. Your side is automatically wrong. And if you notice, if Trump's for it, they're against it. It's insane. That's the reason you got to the point where you've got that little black kid with brain cancer, had 10 brain surgeries, that everybody should stand up and acknowledge as, you know, this is great, and they sit on their hands because it's somebody that Trump introduced. That's sickening. And again, that brings us back to the divided states of America. We're also going to be talking about the world and its divisions, and then the most important one, David, is the division of Jerusalem.
That's where it's all heading, right?
Yeah, that's where we're going to go. Let's get the news done here. So, again, this comes from Revelation Radio News anymore. We have gotten rid of everybody else. So, anyway, this week has seen significant developments across various global arenas. The Trump administration has rejected the United Nations 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, citing concerns over U.S. sovereignty, and I agree with that one 100%. While also stating that President Trump is contemplating imposing sanctions on Russia in response to the ongoing conflict in the Ukraine, let me just interject there that Russia has launched extensive strikes across Ukraine targeting its energy and gas infrastructure. Now, these attacks coincided with the U.S. decision to halt intelligence sharing with Kyiv, raising concerns about escalating tensions in the region. President Trump also announced that the United States would not defend NATO unless They increased their defense spending. In response, European leaders have panicked, basically, and pledged to significantly boost their defense budgets, marking a pivotal moment for European security. What do you think of all that, David?
Is that all it took? You know, for a tough guy to stand up and say, hey, listen, we're not gonna fund your wars anymore. Oh crap! Now what do we do? And that's been it. We've been the piggy bank for the world, and it's about time we stop. It's as simple as that. I'm noticing the chess game here, and there are those, and rightly so, that say it's two wings of the same bird, and we are creating the hero that we need. But like you said, it's the division that's there. Mm-hmm. And if I were the enemy and I wanted to create division, I would certainly create one that looks fantastic on the other side. Mm-hmm. And what is happening that I see is, we do have the conservative ideology here. Mm-hmm. But I think that's being used because there are those who have a conservative ideology that are not necessarily Christian. Mm-hmm. So you tend to be more, behind your state. You're sponsoring your state rather mm-hmm. than the kingdom of God. Right. And I think that's where we can get way off. And we want to stand with the kingdom of God because that's the one that's eternal and that's the one that's coming. And whatever we can help institute along these lines. That being said, we're basically, as Christians, standing on the outside of this, watching this power play go back and mm-hmm. forth, knowing that in the end, we know what's going to happen. It's all in Revelation.
Amen.
And part of that power play is brilliant. I see Trump actually didn't create Doge. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah, that goes back to, was it the Clinton era?
No, that was Obama, actually.
And
he created the United States Digital Service in 2014.
Okay.
And basically, they called it the bureaucratic patch job to fix the Obamacare website. Short story is this. He created it so he can stick his nose into every government agency.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
So Trump looked at it and he's like, oh, look at this. And he just renamed it Doge and said, Elon, listen, you're not going to get paid, but you're going to run this thing. And he's like, I don't need any money, so let's do it. And there they are. So when they're crying and complaining and doing all this, look at the brilliance of this. Yeah. It's like, well, you made it and it's established law since 2014. So they're like, it's doing exactly what it's designed to do, and you're the ones that enacted this.
Yeah, that's not being talked about in the media, David. So, hopefully that'll come out at some point, One thing I can say about that joint session, I've never seen one like that in the history of my life anyway.
Well, that was the worst, wasn't it?
It was absolutely, it was revolting, actually. And John Fetterman, I mean, this guy's surprising me almost on a daily basis, to be totally honest with you. But, he basically called the Democrats, they were lost in space. I can't remember the exact words that
he
used.
Imagine that. The Adams family.
Yeah, he just said that it was, he just said, they acted out like little children. And, this, whoever told them that was a good idea ought to be fired. it's pretty simple. They said that Nancy Pelosi, as the Speaker of the House, would have never allowed the Democrats to do what they pulled off that night, but I guess this Jeffries guy, or however you say his name, I guess he's basically the Speaker of the House in name only and has no real power with the Democrats. I don't know if you can hear the rain or not, but we're getting it here. It's pretty pretty hard, so if I vanish,
it's soothing. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here is a little bit more here. We've got the trade and economic policies. The U.S. has imposed tariffs on Chinese goods. That has prompted China to retaliate with tariffs on the U.S. agricultural products. China's foreign minister criticized the U.S. for two-faced behavior, highlighting the escalating trade tensions between the two nations. Now, the new U.S. tariffs on both Canada and Mexico have been paused. but have influenced Canada's internal politics.
Mm-hmm.
With the Liberal Party, they're preparing to select new leadership amidst the national economic challenges that they would face. Remember, we can absorb those tariffs a heck of a lot better than Canada can.
Oh, yeah.
Then you've got reports that the U.S. plans to use artificial intelligence to monitor foreign students' social media for pro-Hamas content, politically or potentially revoking visas based on AI flag posts. And this move has raised concerns about privacy and the potential for errors in AI assessments. Now, the last part of that I agree with, that, you know, there might be some privacy issues there. But, mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about stuff that's from overseas and people there. And I understand they've already revoked one of the visas because of that the the person was posting a lot of pro-Hamas stuff. Well, why would you want pro-Hamas people in the United States? So
yeah,
overall, I support it. David, your comments.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they weren't crying about it when they were, you know, censoring Christians and conservative folks.
Mm-hmm.
They loved it back then when Facebook took down all the stuff and said, oh, well, we don't want the false news to get out there, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, when it's, you know, the cards have been changed, I guess that's it.
Mm-hmm.
The tables have turned.
Right.
Now it's against them and they don't like it. So, yeah, AI is probably not the best. I mean, it's a good idea to bring it to the attention and then put it in a list, but have a real human look over everything.
Yeah,
and then make that decision. And I think that's probably what they're talking about. But, you know, libtards, they're going to find any reason they can to scream and yell about it because mm-hmm. they're caught.
Yeah. Well, if you look at it, David, you know, they say that Elon Musk is doing this and Elon Musk is doing that. And then I saw reports where President Trump's trying to clarify that. He says Elon Musk is not making any decisions, not any final decisions. What he's doing is he's presenting opinions and facts and presenting those to the President of the United States. And then these individual agencies, whether it's the Defense Department or, mm-hmm. you know, you name it, Treasury, Education, whatever, they're presented with this stuff, and he says, okay, do you really need this? Honestly, do you really need this? And they say mm-hmm. either yes or no. And then if there's a disagreement, and I understand there was one between Secretary of State, what's his name? For some reason, it just flew right out of my head. Rubio and Musk. I understand there was a debate there, and Trump let them have at it. Now, there was a lot of people said, "Oh, it was an argument." No, it was a debate.
Mm-hmm.
Rubio,
and that's a healthy debate.
Yeah, Rubio made his statement in front of Trump. Musk made his statement. The president let them debate back and forth, and he said, "Okay, that's enough. I've heard enough, and here's my decision." Now, that's mm-hmm. good. That's good leadership. That's how a businessman does business, right?
That's the way it should be done,
mm-hmm.
you know. And yeah, that's what he does. That's what he masters at. He's at the art of making the deal. Okay, great.
Right.
This and that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you two are buddies, right? Yep. Okay.
and neither one of them is saying anything bad about the other one.
Not even in private.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You people that are married out there, you always agree with your husband or wife?
No.
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 But you lay out the whole thing, you come mm-hmm. together, and you make a decision.
Right.
You know, based on all the factors.
Yeah. That's just common sense.
Yeah. And that's the way it should be run,
mm-hmm.
as
mm-hmm.
opposed to getting on. Now, all these idiots are out there. We believe in women's rights,
mm-hmm.
except we're going to vote against the don't allow men into women's room
thing. Right. There's another one of them stupid ones again.
And then, well, we don't like what you're saying, so we're going to go ahead and someone's going to write us this script, and we're all going to go on and make a video with this exact same script.
See that? Did you see that? That was incredible. Each one of them, and I think they said it was 24 Democrats that were given the identical script. I mean, word for word script.
And they read
it. They all read it. And when you put that together as a montage, that is one of the funniest and yet most idiotic things that you will ever see in your lifetime. It was
incredible.
And
you know what? Let them keep doing it because now you don't know how many Democrats I've seen is saying, this is not the party I signed up for.
Right, exactly. Let's finish off here in the U.S. We got the Department of Defense conducting a comprehensive review to remove content related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. This initiative has flagged over 26,000 images and posts for potential removal, including references to historical inaccurate military achievements. And then you've got SpaceX. This is one of Musk's operations, and you can see he's not perfect either. SpaceX Starship rocket experienced a failure shortly after launch, making the second setback for Elon Musk's Mars exploration program this year. And this morning, David, I saw something, and I didn't have time to include it here, about a miniature space shuttle. Have you ever heard of this thing? It was actually developed in the Obama administration. It came out in 2010, and they said it had its seventh mission and was in space for over 400 days.
Ooh, nice.
This is the seventh time now, and this thing landed last night, and after 400 and some odd days in space doing reconnaissance work, you know.
Okay.
So have you ever heard of this? Because, I mean, this is seventh flight, and this is the first time I've heard of the thing. Have you ever heard of
it? Yeah, there was another one that just went to the moon, another private thing.
Yeah, but, I mean, this was a United States government thing. This was,
no, I haven't heard of that one, no.
Yeah.
Outside the ISS?
Yeah, this is it's top secret, from what I understand. Now it's not secret anymore, but yeah, okay. All right, moving on here. As far as the world goes.
Let me throw this one in there, too. This is just out this morning, and I like it, because we were talking about the United States and land and all that before, but Missouri just came out recently, like it was probably yesterday, that's why the news is coming out today.
Okay,
they actually won a case, and it was like I think $25 billion against China for spreading the coronavirus.
Oh wow, no, I didn't hear that. Okay,
yeah, and they actually won the case, and they will get the money. And they said what they're going to do to get the money is take back the farmland that China bought.
That's a good penalty. I like that one. Yeah,
Well, you could pay us a $25 billion, or we're just going to take this farmland back. And I think they should just take the farmland back, because it's worth a lot more than that.
I do too. I like that one a lot.
Yep.
Maybe we ought to look into that in Texas, because we got a lot of land, and I'm sure they bought some around to some of our military bases.
Yeah, too. I mean, that's set a precedent now, so there you go.
There you go. Okay. All right, world news is really pretty much Middle Eastern. So we've got Israel and Gaza. Hamas has reiterated its stance to release Israeli hostages only in exchange for a lasting truce, and this, of course, in defiance to United States President Trump's ultimatum for their immediate release. The U.S. has confirmed unprecedented direct talks with Hamas, and I don't like that one. I'm just going to say that straight up. Led by this special envoy, Adam Bowler, aiming to negotiate hostage releases. I don't think we ought to be negotiating with terrorists. I think we ought to be killing them. That's my personal opinion. Concurrently, France has endorsed an Arabian plan to rebuild Gaza, excluding Hamas from governance, while the UK, France, and Germany cautioned Israel against halting aid to Gaza. My understanding is that there's so much food there that they're stocked up for 6 months. So I don't think halting aid is going to hurt them any. Then you've got the Arabian nations, led by Egypt, have endorsed a plan to rebuild Gaza that allows the Palestinians to remain there, countering President Trump's proposal to depopulate and redevelop the area. Israel has rejected that plan, insisting on Hamas's removal from power, and has blocked humanitarian supplies to Gaza to pressure Hamas into accepting Trump's proposal. And David, your comments on that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's the art of the deal. Remember when he spanked Zelensky around the room a little bit?
Yep.
He's like, I'm not on anybody's side. I want to stop the killing of these innocent young people. And that's pretty much what it is. And if you go to the world and you're just like, okay, you have to do what I say, they're going to cry, oh, bullies, oh, this, oh, that. But if you say, listen, we went to the table, we're mm-hmm. standing here with a negotiation agreement in our hand, right. we're willing to do all this, now they have nothing to say. You say, mm-hmm. listen, we tried all that stuff that you think you're talking about, that we can just talk this out. Mm-hmm. We did that. Okay. But true to form, Hamas is not interested at all in negotiations. They think it's a sign of weakness. Okay. But you have to do it to solicit the support of all the other nations. What are they going to say now at this point? Mm-hmm. I tried it your way. Didn't work. Now we're going to bomb the crap out of them and remove them from the planet.
Amen. Yeah. Well, I know that one reporter was asking Trump, will you assist Israel if they go after Hamas or if they go after even Iran? Will you step in and go after it? And he said, well, we'll see. it's just real, in other words, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do. You're going to have to take a good guess, but, just kind of base it on my history. And, I'm sure that probably scared the crap out of a couple of people, to be honest with you.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, like I'm going to tell you.
Right.
You dweeb little reporter.
Okay, now Hezbollah faces significant challenges following the fall of its ally, former Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. And I've got an update on that. I got some breaking news for you on this stuff. Anyway, the development has disrupted crucial weapon smuggling routes through Syria, further weakening the group after its prolonged conflict with Israel, which resulted in substantial losses of personnel and infrastructure. Syria continues to experience violent clashes between the new government and loyalists of ousted dictator Bashar al-Assad, resulting in dozens of deaths. This conflict poses significant challenges for interim president Ahmed al-Sharara, who claims to be striving to unify the country amidst escalating sectarian tensions, reminiscent of the 13-year civil war. And again, I've got more information on this one, and we'll get back to it in a minute. Meanwhile, Israel has expanded its influence beyond traditional borders, including Gaza, southern Lebanon, and the demilitarized zone in Syria, reinforcing its military presence in these areas since December. These actions, supported by the United States, reflect Israel's efforts to assert its strategic interest in the region. Now, David, before you comment, I'm going to put this up. This is breaking news. I want to show you guys this picture and this, again, coming in directly in to me, that the Syrian coastal city of Banias, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct.
Yeah, come on, Benias.
The preparations are underway for the mass burial of hundreds of those killed in a massacre carried out by members of this new Syrian regime against members of the Alawite community. Now, the Alawite community is the community that former Syrian dictator al-Assad comes from. Now, from my buddy over there, Amir Tersfarte, he said, this is exactly what's going on. On Thursday evening, remnants of the former Assad army disbanded after the regime's collapse last December and scattered to coastal cities. So launched a coordinated attack on the forces of the new Syrian regime, led by this guy. I'm not going to try his name again. Several members of the new Syrian government security forces were killed, while others were abducted. By Friday morning, as large contingents of government gunmen arrived, the fighting escalated further. Then the jihadists of the al-Sharar government began what many had long anticipated, a massacre targeting the Alawite community, which is closely associated with the Assad regime. Again, that's breaking news coming to you from the Revelation Radio Network. And I can tell you that they're also are now reporting thousands of Christians have also been executed in Syria as well under this supposed new tempered regime over there. Now your comments, David.
I mean, there we go again. Same old story that they said for centuries, even millennia. Hey, we'll fight to the death, and then we run out of other people to fight, we'll fight ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they're at. They're in that area. They got rid of everyone else, and now they're just going to fight each other.
Right.
And it's really sad because, even the word says Ishmael, he'll, you know, basically be a brawler all of his days. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are. None of this is going to stop until Messiah comes back.
Amen.
Okay. And then he's going to fix all this. So if you're a preterist, you might want to look at history for the last 2,000 years.
Amen.
The Satan is not locked up in the abyss right now, and we haven't seen all the things in Revelation, and this is going to get worse and worse until the time of that 7-year tribulation.
Amen. Okay, we haven't even gotten into the division of Jerusalem yet, and that's on purpose. I want to save the entire second half of the show for nothing but that. We've got a lot of Bible scripture coming up, which hopefully will reinforce everything that we're going to tell you guys about. David is a really good Bible teacher. I go through a course with him every Thursday evening, and he's going to tell you about that here in just a second. But I do want to tell you guys, if you have a chance, go to lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. And there you can pick up one of those gifts that you see on screen. Just for being a supporter of The Last Christian, we'd love to have you there. David, tell them about Thursday night, because it is a great teaching, the discipleship study.
Yeah, we have a good time on there. It's every Thursday night. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And we just get on there with a bunch of people who are seeking deeper truths out of the Word. And we have a round-robin discussion. You know, it's not anyone pontificating or saying this and that, but we'll bring up the topics. We'll bring up a series of insights, and then we all discuss it. And, it's a good bunch of people with a good bunch of knowledge on there. So come and join us. You go to thehiddenday.com. thehiddenday.com. There's a little button on there that says discipleship study. You can jump on there. It's a Zoom, but jump on there on Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern time, and we're going to have a good time. In the meantime, there is a contract that is on your life. That's interesting, right? Well, seems that sin, the wages of sin is death, and you violated the initial contract that we had with Jesus, and you did things you weren't supposed to do. But he loved you, because he loved the whole world. He loved you enough to say, listen, I'll pay off that contract, all right? And then I'll purchase you back, and you come and you live with me. So it's really that simple. It's not religion. It's not anything. It's not all this flu stuff. It's a simple contract. He paid it off because he loves you. So I would encourage you to receive that contract. Just accept Jesus in your heart. Say, listen, I'll do what I got to do on my part. Lord willing, we will see you guys in the second half. Bye-bye.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. Mr. David Paxton there on your left in New York City. David, you got any last comments on any of that news that we had in the first half, or are you ready to dig in here?
No, I like that idea about Missouri just taking their farmland back.
Oh, man, yeah, I do too.
You know, land is what it where it's at. I mean, they take your land, where are you going to live?
Yeah.
You know? But that's some of the stuff we talk about on the C2K report.
Just there you go. Tell people about that real quick.
Yeah. C, it's the letter C, the number two, the letter K, report.com. C2Kreport.com. We're actually building what we call the Holy Nation. In the Bible, it's called the Ecclesia. And we're joining together. We're getting ourselves out of the worldly government. So this is why we talk about a lot of these things and say, hey, look at the division here that we see and look at this craziness in the worldly governments. And the Bible has a mandate. It literally says, come out of her, my people. And then Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So we actually have the infrastructure now, and we've been building it for years, have the infrastructure and have everything to come out. Similar to the way the Native Americans, what we call and then the Amish, they have their own nation. The Moors, I don't know if anyone's familiar with them. And then they basically are separate nations that live on this land outside of the realm of the corporation of the United States in peace and harmony. That's because that's what we're called to do. So that's interesting. and we actually have the infrastructure and the wherewithal, discussion groups and all that, to actually make this happen, complete with IDs, the registration, if you would, into system. And so it's a lot of fun. C2Kreport.com, and keep looking on my channel on the Hidden Day there, and you'll see all the videos that come out on that. That's a lot of fun.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay, real quick, I'm going to finish this one because it leads us into what we need to talk about, and that is that following a brief ceasefire in Lebanon, Israel is preparing for a potential conflict with the Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen who've been launching missiles at Israel. And this development highlights the ongoing regional tensions and the complex web of alliances and hostilities in the Middle East. And, of course, all these developments underscore a period of significant transformation and instability in the Middle East, with longstanding alliances shifting and new conflicts emerging. So in order really to get into this, what I put up initially, David, for today's show was Matthew 12:25 and Mark 3:25, which talks about a nation cannot stand. So let's look at, I want to go to Jerusalem here, the international discussions regarding the division of Jerusalem as a part of a two-state solution have been ongoing for decades, involving various proposals. Look at the United Nations and international resolutions here. UN partition plan, all the way back in 1947, even before Israel became a country, the United Nations proposed Jerusalem as a corpus separatum, or something like that, a separate international entity administered by the UN to avoid conflicts. That was rejected. The UN Security Council Resolution 2334 in 2016, this resolution reaffirmed that Israeli settlements in occupied Palestinian territories, including East Jerusalem, have no legal validity, constituting a flagrant violation of international law, even though there is no international law about it, period. It underscored the need for a two-state solution with both states existing side by side. And of course, that has been rejected. Then you look at the key peace initiatives. You got the Geneva initiative of 2003, a draft permanent status agreement proposed that Jewish neighborhoods in the Jerusalem would fall under Israeli sovereignty, while Arabian neighborhoods would be under Palestinian sovereignty. The old city would have special arrangements to ensure freedom of access and worship for all religions. Obviously, that is not working. Then you've got the Israeli Peace Initiative of 2011. This proposal suggested that Jewish neighborhoods in Jerusalem would remain, again, under Israeli sovereignty, while Arab neighborhoods would come under Palestinian sovereignty. Do you see the repeat here? It also recommended special arrangements for the Old City to respect religious significance of sites. So that, again, is not happening at all. Okay, then move on to 2016. You got the John Kerry parameters. And, of course, we all know the intelligence of John Kerry is somewhere above that of a turtle. But U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry outlined principles for a final resolution. Final, huh? Like final solution, maybe? Advocating for Jerusalem to serve as the capital of both Israel and Palestine. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? With mutual recognition and secure, recognized borders based on the 1967 lines. In other words, Israel, give up some land, okay? And also share your capital with terrorists. Good idea, John Kerry. Let me take the pressure off of turtles, okay? They're more intelligent. Then you've got recent developments here. Arab leaders counterproposal. This is 2025, this year. In response to U.S. President Donald Trump's plan to redevelop Gaza, Arab leaders, led by Egypt, endorsed a plan to rebuild Gaza while allowing Palestinians to remain. This plan emphasizes the importance of addressing the broader Israeli-Palestinian conflict, including the status of Jerusalem, within the framework of a two-state solution. That, again, is just simply not going to happen. Okay, then you've got UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres announced participation in an emergency Arab League meeting to discuss Gaza's reconstruction and emphasize that Gaza, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem should be treated as a single entity under a Palestinian government, retaining its territorial integrity and population. So again, here's the split. Here we go. Then you got, despite numerous initiatives and proposals, the status of Jerusalem remains one of the most contentious issues in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, with both sides claiming it as their capital. The international community continues to advocate for a negotiated settlement that endorses the aspirations of both Israelis and Palestinians, with many supporting the vision of Jerusalem serving as the capital of both states in a two-state solution. So I guess Canada can have half of Washington, D.C., or maybe we need to split up Washington, D.C. between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. I mean, that's how much sense it makes, right, David?
Yeah, I mean, and they're all doing that, not asking the Israelis their opinion.
Right.
They're like, hey, we think it's this, and we think it's this. And like, hello, we're over here, and we're not doing it.
Well, you know, the official capital of Israel has always been Jerusalem. The recognized capital that the world wants them to have is Tel Aviv. And the United States, under President Trump in his first administration, moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Great move there, and some countries have followed. I don't remember the model off the top of my head, but I do know several countries have followed that move. And that's great. But if you try to divide Jerusalem, now we're on a wholly different subject, and one that is one that we've got to talk about today. But anyway, you go ahead and comment on all that stuff I read there, David, and then we'll get into this division stuff through Bible scripture.
Yeah, I mean, this is just leading up to all the things that it said. So with When the Bible talks about it, you can see this stuff leading up to it. Just like when, you know, it doesn't specifically say, hey, there will be a third temple. Mm-hmm. But when you say the abomination of desolation is in the holy place, there mm-hmm. would by necessity need to be that third temple. So Amen. It's just speaking as, oh, this is just normal mm-hmm. stuff mm-hmm. that everybody knows. When it talks about Israel, then, well, Israel needs to be in existence. mm-hmm. So that's why it that needs to come back. Mm-hmm. And that's why Israel had to come back in 1948. Matter of fact, it was like on the exact day, May 14, 1948, as prophesied, that was the last day that they were supposed to be in exile around the mm-hmm. world, and they were going to come back. But Joel chapter 3, verse 2 says, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my heritage, Israel, because they have scattered them among the nations and have divided up my land. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's going to gather them, and that's what he's going to do. All of these things are talking about everyone coming together, and then they're going to start a big old war, and they're all going to gather, but it's actually God gathering them all together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I see stuff like that happening now, even with Ukraine, because, you know, most people believe that Gog is Russia. Mm-hmm. Possibly could be Turkey, but it's, you know, to the north. Mm-hmm. But Rosh, obviously Russia, Rosh,
yeah,
is similar
right.
stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But he's going to drag them down by the hook. And so all these things, and now we can see that playing out. How's that going to happen? Well, you're yeah. going to have a little tiny clown, you know, refuse to make agreements.
Right.
And then that's going to just tick off the world leader that's saying, hey, we want to, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. all these, and they're all going to gather together. We can yeah. see it already. Russia's like, yeah, we're going to bomb you some more, and we're prepared, Europe. So thanks for giving us a heads up. We're mm-hmm. prepared to take you on.
Yeah.
And that's what we see. God is gathering them right now. And,
yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
and with the poop on his last legs and all these different things, I think we're close to the rapture, bro.
I think we're right there. Yeah, I do. Yeah. David, I actually wanted to start that discussion with this scripture, you know, Genesis 11:5-6. But the Lord came down to see a city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and this mm-hmm. is what they begin to do. Now, nothing they propose to do be withheld from them. You say, okay, well, that has nothing to do with it. Yes, it really does, because mm-hmm. at one time, everybody in the world was as one, okay? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. everybody in the world went bad, basically, at the same time. So God said, wait yeah. a minute, before they go any further, I'm going to split them up. And, you know, and so this is the first divide, and... I'll let you take it from there. You're the Bible teacher.
Yeah, I mean, you see the strategy on both sides here. God divided them up in order that they don't build this whole thing to the heavens. That's mm-hmm. what he says. In the King James, says it built a tower up to the heavens, but in the Hebrew, it actually says like unto the heavens. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to build portals and lining up all the stars that are out there to build portals, and that's exactly what they were doing, because they wanted to get back into that dimension that they feel they were thrust out of when they mm-hmm. came down on Mount Hermon in Psalm 89 okay. or is it 82 anyway where he says the council one of those 80s and then you also see this where they divided them up. Now if you reverse that and you say where you split them up and all the nations, you can see that there's actually 70 languages, 70 basic languages that were formed, and then they all come back into one language. If you mm. look at the history, if you back them up, mm-hmm. it was all one language around the world, and it was like the ancient Paleo Hebrew, they think it was. Mm. But even more than that, when you remember Pentecost?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a reversing of that, because what happened? The people went there, and people from all over the place heard the gospel in their own language.
Right.
So no matter what I spoke, some dude might hear it in French.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then incredible. Another one might hear it in Italian. Another mm-hmm. one might hear it in Zimbabwe, whatever yeah. that language is, Swahili. So that was God regrouping again and bringing mm-hmm. the language back to one, and that's the spiritual language. And that was the precursor for this age of grace that we're in, and that will happen again at the end. But you still have Satan trying to copycat that.
Oh yeah, Yeah.
Okay. So mm-hmm. now we have these new things, and you know what you can do. One of the things you can do with AI is instantly translate things into a different mm-hmm. language.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the technology is a tool, but that's he's building tools to try and mimic that. So mm-hmm. he's going to mimic the death and resurrection. He's going to mimic that. Okay. He's going to mimic that he is the savior. He's going to mimic all of these things, bringing all everybody can talk to each other at once. And he's going to pretend that he's the Messiah. Many will come saying, I am the Christ, but don't believe them.
Mm-hmm.
You listen,
mm-hmm.
you'll know when Jesus comes back.
Amen.
But yeah, you won't have to guess.
No doubt. All right.
So that's what we see is that, you know, he's trying to copy everything. And here we are in a copycat thing when Jesus actually is bringing everything back together himself.
Amen. All right, let's look here. This is Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 through 30. And he said, but Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by,
Beelzebub.
By whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he plunders his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Now, this is re-emphasized, actually, in first. Wait a minute.
Hold Corinthians.
On. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 10, 17. So I left out one, actually. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there will be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am Paul, or I am Apollos, or I am Cephas, or I am Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, mm-hmm. or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Cephas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made no effect. David, please interpret all that I just read.
It's real simple. Stop arguing with each other. I mean, especially nowadays with the keyboard warriors, right? And everybody and their mothers on Facebook telling you how wrong you are because, you know, you posted something. I even have one lady in a group. You know, we had Mondo on, and we were talking about the red heifers and how this and, oh, that's Talmudic and this or that. It's King James only and this, and blah, 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 blah. It's like, will you stop? You know? and it's just one thing after another. And then mm-hmm. that's what we have come to today as mm-hmm. brothers and sisters. That's why I say, you know what? Listen, we are firmly convinced the rapture is before the 7-year tribulation.
Right.
But if you don't understand it the same way, we can explain it on the way up, but we can still be brothers mm-hmm. while we're here.
Right.
And that's what the problem is. So the world is looking at us saying, look at those Christians. All they do is argue
fighting each other
about the stupidest little things with each other. And like Gandhi said, what's the biggest hindrance to Christianity in India? And he said, Christians.
He's right. He was right on
that
one.
He's absolutely right.
He was right on
that
one.
Here we are. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you have the Church of Laodicea, where the people mm-hmm. make the rules. Right. Everyone has their own opinion.
I don't think I've ever been in a church, David, that wasn't that way. I mean,
age we live in,
even my very favorite church of all times, and I'll give them another plug. I don't mind doing it because I think it's a great church to go to, and that's Old Stride Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, with Reverend Jim Burke. Great church. Mm-hmm. Okay, I highly recommend it if you're in the Dallas and Fort Worth area. But even they vote okay, we're going to vote on this, we're going to vote on that. You know, they have a monthly meeting or a quarterly meeting or whatever it is. You know, do you accept this person in the church even? I mean, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, I think every church has been like that. And I'm not saying that we ever, you know, when I was there, it never happened anyway. Whereas, do you want this person in the church? No, I don't want him in. You know, I don't think I ever saw that. You know, everybody was accepted, but it was something in the church charter where you had to do that. Anyway, I don't want to get off. I don't want to get off on that. Anyway,
well, I mean, that's and you know what? Not for nothing, most of us don't even know any better. I didn't know that for years.
Until we started talking, David, I just thought it was normal. You know, I just thought that was normal behavior. Anyway, I got a couple more scripture, but in just for time constraints here, I'm going to move on to the Septuagint.
Let's do it.
Now, this is Isaiah 9:21, and David, you'll have to explain the LXX thing. I don't get that. But anyway,
that's the 70.
Okay. Then you got what is that? Say his name for me, or if you can see it, just read it.
Yeah, Manasseh against Ephraim. Okay. So LXX that's what's called the 70. They call that the Septuagint is what it is in Greek.
Okay.
With meaning the 70. It was really 72 because they had six people from each tribe actually translate it from the Hebrew into the Greek, because that's what they spoke at the time.
Okay.
And so this is the Greek version from back then, which, by the way, is what the majority of the quotes in the New Testament are from the apostles and from Jesus are from the Septuagint.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that's interesting. It's a little bit different just because translating it from the Greek to English and then translating it from the Hebrew to English, you can have different interpretations.
Okay. Well, this says Manasseh against Ephraim?
Yeah, Manasseh against Ephraim and Ephraim against Manasseh. Together they are against Judah. And for all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out. So he's like, come on, guys, let's work it out. Mm-hmm. The division among the tribes of Israel leads to judgment, and it's Proverbs 17:14. The beginning of strife is as when one lets out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with.
Yeah, once division starts, it's difficult to stop, and that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, do you want to go ahead and explain what that passage there meant?
Well, yeah, I mean, the first one is like, you guys stop arguing. You're supposed to be one house. And that's why he said his hand is still stretched out. He's reaching out to them. You know, it's like when your kids are arguing. You don't hate, you know, one of the kids and then get on their side. You love both of them, even though they're both acting like children.
Yeah.
And the other one says, you know, it's a proverb. So it's like, yeah, listen, when you open that valve for the water to come out, try shutting it off. It ain't going to work.
Okay. Again, just in time here, the Dead Sea Scrolls. They shall not quarrel with one another as each man sees fit. They shall rebuke one another in truth, humility, and love. No man shall speak to his brother with anger or resentment or stubbornness or wickedness. Qumran saw division as a sign of impurity and lawlessness. Some of the works of the law, but if they stray from the path, their house shall be divided and their inheritance shall be lost. A direct reference to division leading to destruction. You got the Book of Enoch. Be not divided in your hearts, nor shall you be in two minds. Be not of two tongues, for deceit is a deadly snare. This passage warns against international division. Internal division within oneself and among believers. And then Enoch 99:2, woe to them that pervert the words of uprightness and transgress the eternal law and transform themselves into what they are not. They shall be trodden under the foot upon the earth. This suggests that division results from corruption and straying from truth. And again, that's the book of Enoch. And you notice I've got it in yellow there. That, in other words, the ones that I reference in yellow are not in the Bible, the canon, but they are great references nonetheless, and shouldn't be downplayed at all. Now, the additional ones I've got here, David, you may have some comments on. I don't even know what that is.
That's the Didache, and basically, when the first church started, they're like, "Well, how do we do this church thing?" So they made what's called the Didache, and it's essentially a set of I don't know if you'd call them bylaws or something, but hey, if you're going to operate the church, these are the things you do, because they all had questions.
Mm-hmm.
So there, it's an outline for church structure. Let's say that way. It's called the Didache.
Okay. They call this one the teaching of the 12 disciples, and it says, do not be of two minds, nor should you speak one thing and do another, but be unified in your actions and thoughts. It stresses unity among believers. The shepherd of Hermas says the devil can bring down those who are divided in their hearts and set them against one another, and this, of course, spiritual division makes one vulnerable to demonic influences. So, to summarize all this stuff, the biblical text emphasizes the division leads to destruction. That's Matthew 12:25. The Septuagint warns about division among God's people. That's Isaiah 9:21. Then the Dead Sea Scrolls condemn internal community division, with Enoch associating division with corruption, and then the early church or Christian writings stressing unity again. And okay, this all leads us to one thing, and that is the final answer. Okay,
is that your final answer?
Yeah, definitely. This is the final answer for everybody, and that's found in John 3:13-18. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who's in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So that makes it clear that you must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to be saved and in order to go to heaven. And David, you got about 2.5 minutes to close the show.
I do. Oh, isn't that fun? I want to emphasize the point here, and you know, everyone quotes John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall be saved. But they forget about 18. It says, if you don't accept them, you're already condemned.
Amen. That's the reason I included it.
Okay. But it says right there, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we start out in a state of condemnation.
Correct.
Just by inheriting, we're sons of Adam, okay? And it's not until we become the sons of God through the contract and the blood contract that Jesus has for us. He says, I gave my life. And once that contract is enacted and you receive that and take the communion, if you would, that contract now says, okay, you are made new. You know, behold, all things are made new. The old man is passed away, all things. And he says, you know, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the sons of God. To take us from that state of being condemned already and making us a son of God and a joint heir of all the universe with Jesus is just astounding, okay? So it's not a matter of, hey, you could pick A, you could pick B. This isn't Oprah where there's many paths to God. You know, no, it doesn't work that way. If you do not accept Christ, you are condemned initially out of the gate to start with. You have to accept him. You have to receive that contract. You have to receive his blood payment for your sins in order to have your sins pay for it and not be condemned. That's what it clearly says that. If you accept Jesus, you're not condemned, but you're condemned already otherwise. So we would encourage you that before the return of Christ and before you might pass on to receive him as your Savior, to say, yes, Jesus, I'll be with you. I accept your agreement. We'll stand together, and he will never leave you or forsake you, and no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. So that's it. Lord willing, we will see you on the next show, and we'll be talking more about world events and all that fun stuff. We'll see you guys then. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.